Good morning to you all, and welcome to this Sunday of Candlemas, where we hear from the Bible the presentation of Christ to the temple. So 40 days ago, we celebrated the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we recall the day on which he was presented in the temple, when he was offered to the Father and shown to his people. As a sign of his coming among us, his mother was purified, as we now come to him for cleansing. In their old age, Simeon and Anna recognized him as their Lord. The prayer for today, this Candlemas Sunday. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the nations and glory of Israel, make your home among us and present us pure and holy to your heavenly Father, your God and our God. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what is being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Does it feel like 40 days since we celebrated Jesus' birth back on the 25th of December? 40 days is actually tomorrow, the 2nd of February. But in the church calendar, they always choose the nearest Sunday. January has been a busy month for me, which I was not overly prepared for, I've got to be honest. But it does seem to have gone very quickly, unlike other Januaries in the past, where the times and the days have just dragged by. Our journey through Epiphany in the lectionary has taken us on a gospel hopscotch, as one writer described it, through many various accounts of Jesus' true identity being revealed through different passages of Scripture. We started back with the wise men from the east on Epiphany, and then moved to the baptism of Christ, and then on to John's account of John speaking to his disciples about who Jesus is, and then last week about Jesus fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy and Scripture, and then the calling of 4 fishermen to be his disciples. And then today, we're back to the infant Jesus, 40 days after he was born in the temple. fulfilling the Jewish laws of purification for Mary and possibly Joseph. I include Joseph in this, as having had 40 days since Jesus' birth, he too in some way was probably unclean. And verse 22 starts with, when the time came for their purification. It's not just Mary. It seems to suggest it was both of them. As always, we do not have the details about the visit to the temple in Jerusalem. What was it like? Who was there? Was it crowded, or were there just a few gathered? Did they take other family members with them, or was it just a mum and dad thing with the child? All we have is what we read in Luke's gospel. And in it, there are a few details which we can tease out to give us a better understanding of Jesus' identity and the revelation that came to Anna and to Simeon. By the offered sacrifice that they gave, we know that they couldn't probably afford a lamb. The sacrifice for a year was a year-old lamb and a young pigeon or a dove. As a side note, if the child was female, you would have to double up those 40 days, so it would become 80 days before you had to go to the temple for purification. You can find all of this, if you're interested, in Leviticus 12 in the Old Testament. And then in Leviticus 12, it states that if you can't afford a lamb, then two pigeons or doves can be brought instead. One commentator wrote that we need to be careful not to read too much into this and state with any certainty that they were poor. However, it does show that they were an ordinary couple. And what is the cost of a lamb in the New Testament times, I hear you wondering? Well, unsurprisingly, Google did not help me on this particularly. Some suggest it was a day's wages, some suggest it was 3 days' wages. Who knows? But it sounds like it would have been expensive for a couple who didn't necessarily have a lot of money. So the fact that they go with two pigeons rather than a lamb was probably what everyone did. It was probably the normal for people to go rather than an exception. So this Sunday, the revelation about who Jesus is comes from the two people that have been in the temple waiting to see the Messiah, waiting for God's Son, having been promised by the Holy Spirit that they would do so. Simeon is always perceived to be old, as he was told that he would not die until he had seen the promised one, the Messiah, Jesus. Although nothing in our reading suggests that he is an old man. Unlike Anna, who it seems is 84 years old, or has been a widow for 84 years old. In some of the commentaries I read, there's a bit of a question as to which one of those it is. However, I think it's probably the first, that she was 84 years old, as if she'd been a widow for 84 years, and been married for 7, and married when she was 14, because they married young, that would then make her 105. So I think she was probably 84. But slightly strange that they mention that age about her. Simeon is first, and he takes the child in his arms and he praises God. And this always, whenever I read this every year, it always makes me think of the Lion King. Yeah, so you know where my brain is going with this. Makes me think of The Lion King when Rafiki, the wise advisor, holds up the new cub, Simeon, in his arms so everyone in the Pride Lands can see this newborn one day to be king. In some ways, there's lots of parallels to what Simeon does when he takes Jesus in his arms. There's no mention of the fact that Simeon does this with a small 40-day-year-old child. But I can imagine that Mary would have been none too happy if he had actually done that. It's Simeon who, when prompted by the Holy Spirit, says, "Master, you're now dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Which in the Church of England we use during the service of Compline at the end of the day as a way of saying, "God, as we now go to sleep, may we sleep in peace this night." I wonder how many parents and children had walked past Simeon with him wondering, "Is this the child? Is this the one?" I wonder if there was something about Mary and Joseph that stood out as they passed by with Jesus. Or maybe nothing did, and actually it was the Holy Spirit that was prompting Simeon that this was the couple, this was the child that he had been waiting for. And there's something always joyful about seeing a newborn or a tiny baby. I think the youngest that I have baptized was maybe 2 months old. And I'm not always the most confident person around newborn babies. I'm a little bit all arms and going, I don't know quite how to hold, where my arm needs to be, where my hand needs to be. But I do remember the dad of this very tiny baby just making sure that I had hold of his head and his neck, all in the right places, as I cradled him in my arms, ready to baptize him. There's something innocent, there's something lovely about seeing a newborn baby. And I'm sure Simeon felt the same way when he took Jesus into his arms. But it wasn't just a message of light and of glory that he spoke of. It was also a message of what was to come later in Jesus' life. One commentator wrote, "This reading from Luke weaves a dark thread into a bright tapestry of hope." Simeon warns that it will not be easy being God's son, being the Messiah, and that some will hear the word Jesus speaks and respond, but others won't. Some will dismiss Jesus, and some will follow him. But ultimately, Mary's heart will also be broken as in what is to come. Candlemas is a bridge between Epiphany and Lent. It's a chance to take one last look at the crib before it goes away for another year, and our gaze instead turns towards the cross. Candlemas is, as Bishop Richard wrote this week, when we recall Christ as the light revealed to the nations, and are reminded that God's presence shines in both pain and chaos that we see and experience in the world, alongside the ordinary rhythms of our daily lives. So let us go out from this place today with a reminder of the revelation of who Jesus is by Simeon and by Anna, and how we too can walk in the light of Christ each day as our gaze turns from the crib to the cross. Amen. May God give us light to guide us, courage to support us, and love to unite us now and evermore. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Amen. Go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.